Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for July 17th, 2023. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 394. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I've arranged for the option professor to do another market update for you. But first, I want to let you know tomorrow, that'll be Tuesday, July 18th, 2023, we are doing another episode or another analyze your trade event. And this is the new format where we have several traders lined up throughout the day that will, they have no prepared presentation, they're just going to come on and answer your questions and look at charts. So that'll be from 10 a.m. Eastern time until 4 p.m. Eastern time. And you can access that again on July 18th. Just go to timingresearch.com and there'll be links on the main page to join us for that. So, all right, now I'm going to turn it over to the option professor.
Okay, thanks, David. And good to have everybody here with us here today. Markets are opening on the upside for the week, and a lot of earnings coming out from the banks this week, including the regional banks, which will be interesting. And then the next couple of weeks, we get more of the high tech, the big tech earnings, and we'll see exactly how things are going. The word on the street is earnings might be down as much as 9%, but they were supposed to be down 6% in the Q1, and they were only down like 3%. So they've been lowering the bar pretty darn well. And that's one of the good things for the market is that the earnings have been able to beat because they have low expectations. We'll have to see how things work out as things go on. Before we get started, I'm going to be sharing with you my opinions. I'm not giving any recommendations to anyone because obviously I don't know anybody there as far as your circumstances. So I'll be sharing with my opinions and my views. As far as your suitability and all that kind of stuff, you should be talking to your brokerage firms to determine that, and then you could take it from there. Okay. So again, I'll be talking about some of the charts here, and I'm going to go through the markets with you right now, and I'll show you what we're seeing using the indicators that we use. Stock market, obviously, looking at the 20-year graph on S&P, it's been pretty much up, up, and away. It came down here and hit the long-term moving average we used back in 2020. And so that's why we use these averages, because they're based on factual numbers, not opinions. So they're very objective. And you can see that was a great low. We just had a big drop from 4,800 to 3,500. And then, of course, the rising moving averages are still there on the purple and the blue. And once we got back above the blue, it's been pretty much rising. And of course, once we got above 4,000 and 4,200, those were the two key levels to get above. And that's why we've accelerated to the upside. Now, again, there is a lot of enthusiasm that the Fed is done. That enthusiasm may or may not be so correct, because core is still at 4.8%, and the entire planet thinks it's going to keep dropping, dropping, and dropping. We already see real estate going back up and gasoline prices going back up. And with the wages going back up and the job number at 3.6, there could be a surprise on the upside on the inflation picture. And of course, the yields are not going down. So we'll get to that in a minute. So again, everyone was leaning down in October to the downside, and now everyone is leaning to the upside, looking to take out 4,800. It certainly could do it. It's not that far away. But it also, let's just say here, the RSI is on this month of June was at 60. We've made a big new high here in July, and the RSI is still at 60. That's a flat RSI on a brand new high, and that's a warning signal to us. But the bottom line is, you know, down here in the October, the fourth quarter where we got bullish, that's where you wanted to get positioned. And right now you should just be enjoying the ride and maybe doing some things to protect yourself against the market should have started losing some value. Let's look at the 5-year. 5-year, again, you got RSI at 64, and now you got it at 68, and now you got it at 68. So last bit of time here, the RSI is flattening out around 68. Again, you know, one thing I did want to mention is we are extended. You know, when you get far away from the moving average, like you did here at 4,800, it reverts to the mean. So we're getting kind of far away from the moving averages again. So a reversion to the mean is not off the table. It's interesting, if you'll make a note of this chart on the S&P, that the 12 SMA and the 36 SMA are joined and rising and come in pretty much at 40, 80, 40, 90 area. Now you'll see in the gold prices, it's very similar as well. So I'll show you that in a minute. But anyway, what does it look like here? Again, you got a high point here of 68, you got a new high of 66, and then you got another new high of 69. So, you know, the relative strength, you know, hit 71 here back in June, and now it's way up here and it's at 69. So you got a brand new big high up here and you got an RSI that's not exactly confirming it. So keep an eye on it closely. On the 1 month, what's it showing? Again, a big breakout up here, 67. And again, the RSI here was 67 and up here you're 77. So you're getting close to the high, but the RSI is not making new highs. And that's something you want to be concerned about. If you want to get on a situation where you think you have a decent chance of a drop, getting under 45.30 would be an indication that maybe this thing is rolling over on a short-term basis. Okay. And I'm going to get into some short-term ideas later. I wanted to give a little overview of what's going on. So S&P, big breakout at 4,000, big breakout at 4,200, but now we're almost at 4,600. So it's not the same game. RSI seems to be flattening out. So we'd have our antenna up on that this thing could be running out of steam. If the earnings come in and blast everybody out of the water, who knows? We could be at 4,800 for all you know, because again, it is breaking out to the upside. But again, I'm noticing that yields are still fairly high and they're not backing off. And again, the big mood out there is the Fed is close to being done. And we've heard that story before. So that's the story here. Let's look at QQQ. You know, valuations on some of these stocks are at 28 to 1 PE ratio, and the market itself is at 19 or 20 to 1. These are high numbers for valuations. So you got to be concerned sometimes on that. Here's the QQQ. Again, another big high. Where's your RSI? 61. Now you're at 63. Up here, you're at 77. So again, the Qs are coming up close to their all-time highs, right? Only about 20 points away. But the RSI does seem to be lagging a bit. 63 versus up here, it's in the 70s. So we'll have to see if it can keep going. Again, it is getting a little bit extended from the averages. So sometimes you revert back to the mean. This is really clear down here. You see how high the RSI is here? And you see how it's lagging here. So that's a concern. And that's why you'd keep your antenna up for anything that might look like a rollover. RSI here hit 71 and now it's at a new high in 75. So it's making a little bit of a new high. That's a good sign. And we'll have to keep an eye on that. But it is getting extended from its averages a bit. Could there be a blow off to take all these highs out? It very much could. There's no big indication of a turnover by any means. Had a high on RSI here of 73, and now you get a 73. So on the daily, you made a high here at around 372, you're making a big brand new high, 10 points higher, and the RSI is what? It's about the same. So you got a flattening RSI, and you got a big brand new high. So keep an eye on it up here. On a one-month graph, what's it saying? It's saying RSI up here 75, and now it's at 68. You start breaking in there, you got gaps here and gaps there. So on a short-term basis, if this thing started to get this red line turning down, that would be something that would be, you know, that would be indicating maybe we will roll over. So let's keep an eye on it and see exactly what happens there. IWM, you know, this is the big one that we brought to people's attention because we saw a big divergence and it run through. This is your small caps. And so let's take a look and show you what we saw to make that situation. You had a low 39, then you got a 47. That's a divergence. That means it's going to go back up in our view. And then of course it went to 46 and now it's above the red line at 180. So at 180, you got your first buy signal. And if it can close above 195, you'll get your second buy signal. It hasn't done that yet, but that would be your second buy signal. Again, the blue line rising is a positive, and it is joined, right? You can see the 24 and the 36 are very much in the same neighborhood around 195. So let's see how it does here. Tuesday sometimes turn around Tuesday. Let's see if it turns around tomorrow. If not, maybe it's on its verge of, you know, making a much bigger advance. It certainly has not gone up nearly as much as the Qs or the S&P. So if there's a game of catch up to be done, this would be the neighborhood. That's why people are saying get into some small caps. Again, we'll have to see if it can do that. And if it can, you know, there could be big potential here. This could be actually where the money's going to be made on a percentage basis much better. Let's talk about the 5-year. Again, got above the long 120. That's an exponential moving average that we like to use. And once it gets above there, unless it's only going to tease and come back down, this could be the beginning of something very large. So again, staying above 180, very important. Getting above 195, very important. If that happens, the Russell could start taking off. So keep an eye on that. The 1 year, again, where are we here on the RSI? You got a little bit of a gap that they filled, which was good. RSI was at 63, RSI is at 56. So you get the pullback, you see divergence and the pullback. Now you've gone from a high point here of 62, another high point of 67, and now it's at 65. A little bit of a divergence up here going into 195. So keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. On the 1 month, you've got RSI running up here at around 70, and you've made big new highs here, and it's at 67. That's a divergence. This thing starts getting underneath 193. Maybe it's going to come down here a little bit further. So again, keep an eye on it here because the RSI is indicating that it's running out of steam a little bit, a little bit. So keep an eye on it this week to see if it can keep going. Again, it's got a lot of potential above, as you can see from the longer term graphs, if it can get above this 195 and stay above the 180. Okay, so there you've looked at your S&P. You looked at your NASDAQ, and that's having a rebalancing as well. And then you're looking at your Russell. So you got all three of them. Clearly, the Russell has the most potential if this is really a bull market and if this is really going to go. Right now, that is the consensus opinion. So again, keep an eye on it because, a lot of it is based on inflation is definitely coming down and the Fed is definitely almost done. If those definites don't actually come to pass, then the things can change. So be flexible. With regards to interest rates, let's take a look at the 10-year note and let's look at things and see if rates really do look like they're going to come down as everyone thinks they are. 20-year graph looks pretty much like it's still in an uptrending interest rate environment. But if they did start seeing yields drop, again, a reversion back to the mean shows you where they could drop down to. And so there is plenty of potential of it to go back down if, in fact, it breaks. But it's got to get under 370, 368 and stay there to make the red line turn down. Because, again, when you did get a drop in yields back here, you notice that the red line was pointing down. And that's not been happening since 2021 when they started their campaign. Now, if you're looking at the RSI here, you're at 74 and then you're at 78. And now you're at 64. So again, the RSI is showing a little bit that is tired. So it's possible rates were to drop because it is running out of steam. If you start blowing out that high, people are not really ready for that. And again, what's my key number here? My key number is 368. If you notice recently, it tried to pull back towards 376, but now it's back at 381. This is the actual yield on the Treasury. Okay, here's another one here. You had a high point 78, you had a high point here 62, and you have a high point here of 54. This is also supportive of the idea that rates may be tired up here. And if rates are tired up here, but again, if we get under 360 and 370, I would be much more of a believer that these yields may what? Come back down, okay? And could they come back down to 280 or 3%? Obviously, that's where the purple's coming in, so it's possible. But everyone's betting on that right now. And so that's the problem, because positioning is clearly that rates have topped and they're coming down. Here you go with the one-year graph. Again, it came back down, tested this blue line, and it's been holding. You got a gap up here. In fact, you got an island up here. So I don't know. Like I say, if we can break under, what had I been saying, 370, 360, then you might get into the lower areas, okay? But right now, again, if we get back above 390, it's back on the bicycle. So keep an eye on it. The Fed meets next week, and then they're not going to be doing anything for 2 months because they're going to Jackson Hole in August. So Are they going to want to have a situation where they're going to not hike and then see how things go with a 3.6 unemployment rate and wages on the rise and oil going up, gasoline prices going up, and housing prices going back up again with a lot of activity there? So I think you can count on the quarter point hike, and you might get a statement saying that, don't look at this CPI report too closely, because don't forget, a lot of the fact that it came down was because they took June of 22 off, where there was a hike of 1.2% of inflation. So like any moving average, if you take a big number off the end of it, you're going to get the average to come down. But now future number, that advantage is out the window. And so the future numbers are very important. Like I say, there seems to be an awful lot of activity still in the gaming stocks, which means people are still very believing that people are going to be out there going to dinner and gambling and traveling and everything else. And again, people are making money. Their wages have gone up and they're all employed. So again, we'll have to see how things go, but it's not unheard of that the inflation could kick back in again. I see also some of the food prices seem to be rising as well. And again, I've noticed, and I haven't heard many people talk about it, but I've noticed that M2 money supply, which had been contracting since 2021 from a high point of positive 20%, 27% increase in the money supply down to a historic drop in April of 4.84% negative M2 money growth. Now that's down to that's going back up. It's at -3. Certainly not robust, but a turn has occurred. And since that turn, which was in April, meaning May and June, you're seeing increases in the M2 money supply. Do you see what happened to the dollar in the last 2 months since they started increasing money supply? I'm not the first guy looking at it. They're seeing the dollar index going way underneath 100 now. And of course, you've seen the price of some of these things rolling up and asset prices. So if they plan on going back to printing because they're afraid of deflation, then these asset prices across the board may very much have a tailwind. So I'm keeping an eye on M2 money supply, because believe me, when they start printing and if they start doing that, these asset prices, could really get going. All right. So anyway, there you go on the interest rate picture. I think neutral to higher rates until you break under 360 is a reasonable assertion. Let's take a look at that dollar index, because that has been a big deal. You got the euro up to 112 and change. Some people are talking 115. But let me show you what we talked about. First of all, when it got way up here, like any market that gets away from its averages, it's going to revert back to the mean. So we're not surprised at this at all. Now, where should it have stopped? It should be stopping here at the blue line, which comes in at 98 and change, or it should stop at the purple line, which comes in around 95 and change. So there could still be a little bit more of a drop, which I don't know if that'll take you to 115 on the euro, but if it did hit 115 on the euro, and you're at 95 area, I'd be looking at the buy side of the dollar at that point. As we said for a long time, you got to get above 106 if you're going to turn into any bull market on the dollar. Now, again, the mood out there is that the ECB and the BOE, Bank of England, they have a lot more hiking to do than we do. That's what people think. Now, like I say, what they think and what's going to happen might be two different things, because Europe is definitely in a recessionary environment, particularly in Germany, which is their lead dog over there. And then the inflation problem in places like England is off the charts, and their employment situation is very tight. So, it'll be very interesting to see what happens here. But again, it's on the defensive. There you go. And everyone's getting extremely bearish on it. So again, as it goes into 98 and change, we'll have to see if that holds, and then it goes back on the bicycle, or if it can hold 95. Those are two big numbers. Taking a look at the five-year graph, again, you're busted under here. That's not good. So again, this purple number is a very big number, because sometimes the market will get under it for just a short period of time. And then if it gets back above it, which in this case would be 101.29, that means that this move under here was just a fake out and we're back on the bicycle. So again, if the dollar can get above 101.29, 101.30, it would be very much possibly telling us that a turn is happening. Right now, this is on the defensive and there's nothing underneath it. So again, could the dollar go into a collapse mode? You know, if they plan on M2 money supply going way up again, then, you know, anything's possible. One thing the Fed has shown is they can do very violent things with the M2. In 2021, it was up 27%, the biggest printing press in history. And of course, that was because of COVID. But did they overdo the printing of COVID? Obviously, that's how you got 9% inflation. And people on TV saying, if you had three employees, you can get 25 grand an employee free, never pay it back. So, you know, that gives you an idea, you know, how they were printing. And then they go the other way and they brought it to -4.8% within 24 months. That's a ridiculous reduction of the money supply. So they make wild swings. So, you know, nothing's off the table with this Fed, no doubt about it. But this thing does look like it is extended off of the moving average here. And we are getting a little bit of a divergence, I think. You went to 25 RSI, then you're at 27, and now you're at what? You're at 27. So, you know, there could be a little bit of a bounce here. You got a low surrounded by higher lows. So the dollar could have a bounce. Obviously, I would like to see it be able to hold that 98 and change before I would get too worried about that. Short-term trading, you've got 11 on the RSI. Now you're at 11 and now you're at 32. So that's why you're bouncing, because RSI is picking up. You're above the red line on the daily. That's at 40 now. We spiked all the way back up to 120. So that was a nice little day trade or short-term trade for somebody, right? Bam to bam. And we'll have to see if it can take out 100 and see if it'll go up towards the purple. But again, there seems to be a little bit of a bid in the dollar. We'll have to see how that goes. Let's talk about the price of gold. And then we're going to go to crude. Okay, on the gold, 20-year graph. Okay, here's the problem with gold. You got a high point. This is why we were kind of negative on, not negative, but, you know, not excited about it. It went up here in 2020 and it had RSI of 83 and we went to about 2063. We go up there to the same neighborhood in 2022, RSI 60. Okay, that's called a divergence. And that's when the thing is running out of steam and that's when you come back down. Now we're right back in the face here, the same high area. RSI is only 59. So our feeling is as simple as this. When you get above 60 on RSI, you can start accelerating to the upside. So again, if we can get the market above the 2050, 2075 area and get the RSI into the mid 60s, then you could be looking at an acceleration to the upside in gold. Okay, because the RSI, remember I told you that the S&P and the gold had a similar chart. You see how you've got the 12 and the 24, 30, 12 and the 36 and the 24 all coming in at the same price here, right around 1830, 1840. So there's your support. If you break underneath that number, it's going to open up 1600 and 1500. If it doesn't, and again, we get above there, for sure it could keep going. And if everyone's noticing that M2 is starting to go back up, they might be saying the Fed is afraid of deflation like they're having in China. And they maybe feel like, you know, they're afraid that that could start happening. So they're starting to print money again, getting more liquidity in the system because these regional banks are definitely tightening their lending standard. And so, you know, for liquidity purposes, they may start printing money. If that's the case and gold breaks above 2050, again, that big acceleration to the upside people were talking about, it could occur. But it is right in the middle here. And so again, break under 1835. And, you know, that would confirm that this RSI here at 60 and this RSI here at 60 is telling us that gold has run out of steam. Okay. That plus a break under 1835, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back for all these people buying gold coins and silver coins on TV. So again, though, the dollar has weakened. That has helped this thing. And again, the M2 running up, I think, is helping it. And if the Fed thinks they're going to, you know, get easy on money and credit, you know, I think then that would be very good for the gold. But right now, and then I'll show you a stock that started to go, but, you know, they're announcing their earnings on Thursday, I think, Newmont Mining. And again, there could be potential here. Obviously, we love this thing from 30 bucks up to 85. But again, when markets get way away from their moving averages, they revert back to the mean. And that's what this thing has done. So if this thing can start closing above $46 a share, it could actually start getting back on the bicycle. So if you wanted to see a gold stock that is the, I think it's the Cadillac of gold stocks because it pays a reasonably good dividend. I think it might be 4% or better. I'm not sure. Check that out. But you get a dividend plus you own the gold stock. That ain't bad. And are you buying it at the highest price of all time? No. Are you buying it after it had a huge drop? Yes. And again, if gold has a future, and these guys, I think, are just either trying to or just bought a huge Australian mining operation too. So it's a huge one in the gold business. And again, you can see the purple line comes in at around 46 and the 12 SMAs around 45. So this thing's trading 44. Would like to see this thing trading a little bit higher, and that would open up the door. And maybe it could be a situation like it was back in 2018, 2019. You see the chart here? You had a low point and everything was underneath it. And then basically it got above the purple line at $35. Once it got above the purple line, it was off to the races. And so that's why I would keep an eye on this one. And again, it's nice to get a nice dividend while you're holding on to something like that. Okay, let's talk about silver because I thought silver had some potential here. Let's take a look. Yep. Okay, so silver came down. Remember I told you if it gets under the purple line, that could be a sneaky deal and it could be a prelude to it going up. Well, again, once it got above 20, the sneaky deal was over and it tested 20 again. And now we're up around the 25s. Red line is curling to the upside. Market is pretty much above all the averages. You can see the numbers there. So you want this thing to stay above 22, 23 bucks. And if it breaks above what? If it breaks above like 26 bucks, there's a lot of white area up there, right? A lot of white area up there. So this is not like gold where it's already had its move. And this stuff is being used with the electric batteries and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of uses for silver that obviously could be very good. So got to keep an eye on it. This may, you know, this would be the one that could give you a pretty good spike if it got going. So that's what I was looking at on that. And there's a lot of different stocks to look at on this. Pan America Silver is one of the more popular ones. And you can see this thing here, similar to the silver. You know, if it can get above 20 bucks, it would get going. It's down in the lower area here. And another one is Wheaton. And Wheaton is more of a larger company. And again, this one here is trying to hold the 40 number, which is good. And so again, this thing has been holding up a little bit better than the others. Okay, so there you got your silver, gold. And another one for the industrial metals is copper. And Freeport-McMoRan, in my view, is the Cadillac for the copper. We, again, saw a big buying opportunity in 2020 down here at 10 bucks a share. Huge move up, reversion to the mean. Huge move up, reversion to the longer-term mean. This was the place to reload. And now another place to reload was right there. And now it looks like it might be wanting to go someplace. So if we stay above 35 bucks a share, you're in pretty good shape. And we start blowing out 45, it could, you know, obviously go even further. Again, copper is a very big part of infrastructure. There's only so many copper mines out there, so you don't have unlimited supplies. Chile's a big, obviously, player there. And so if you were looking for an infrastructure play, I think this is not a bad one to keep an eye on for that. Okay, and so there you got your metals. And let's get over to that crude oil. Crude oil, CL. Let's go CLU. Okay, crude oil. Let's check it out. Again, we told people that there's a wall that has to get through and it comes in around 78, 77 bucks. Can you see the blue line is the red line right there pointing straight down? So again, that's the problem with oil. Again, it held this purple. So this oil, in my view, is coming into the junction. And the junction is, let's just call it 65 bucks to about 77, 80 bucks. Let's call it 65 to 80. Okay, that's your range. When it gets out of that range, you know, it's going to be probably making a pretty big move. Now, again, you'll never see a huge up move without the red line pointing straight up. So that is a problem. And that's why I'm saying right now, selling into $78 a share, where it just hit 70, what did it just hit? Let's see. It just went as high as about 77, you see? So it went into that 78 number and it went away. So that's why you fade it into the 78. And then basically, if it gets above there, you got to consider getting back on the train. Again, though, holding this purple line is very important because if it does break, you can see when it gets under the purple line, that's when you can get some pretty good downdraft. So if oil was going to surprise everybody and go really into the tank, it'll be when you get a print under 65 and 60. Okay. And other than that, this thing looks like it's building and building and building against a base, and it could really get going. RSI hit a low of 48, and then it hit a 43, and now it's in the 47, and now it's in the 47. So getting the RSI back above 50, getting the price above 78, that's when I would get my rally cap out. Okay. Otherwise, I would be cautious because, again, it's right in a traffic jam there. Let's take a look at, well, there's a couple of different things. You got XOP. These are the ETFs. There's individual names: Halliburton, Schlumberger, Occidental Petroleum. You know the names. Baker Hughes. So again, this one here on a 20-year basis. Again, if it can get above, just like oil, if it can get above this area here, which is 135, it would open the door to much higher levels. You got to like the green rising. You got to like the blue rising. But again, purple's right there too. So you want to get above purple, get above red, and you might be able to get going here because your green and the blue are rising. You had RSI at 52, then you had 49, then you have 53, and now you got 53. So, we want to get that RSI into the 60s to get the big move if you're going to get it. Let's take a look at the servicers. These are the guys, like I say, like the Schlumbergers and the Halliburtons and the Baker Hugheses. Again, I was thinking this might have the bigger potential because it obviously hadn't had the big move that the others had. So, and it looks like we need to get more oil. So this might be something that would happen. Looks like it could be in its infant stage, but again, it's got to get above 400 to get really going. But you got to like the action going up here. Just to keep this thing above 285, that would be the thing you'd want to do. But again, is there resistance here? You got RSI in the 60s, right? And then you got RSI at 59. RSI, if it hits that low 60, 60 number, can be resistance and it could be an area that turns it down. If it gets above the low 60s and you start seeing a 65, 66, it could be on the way to 70, more than likely is, and an acceleration phase is there. So that's why these things are stalling out because the RSI is right against some resistance and also the prices as well. But if it gets through there, that's what I'm saying. If you get through $78 on crude, these things will probably fly like birds. Let's talk about the other guy, which is XLE, which is basically Chevron and Exxon, right? And this one here again had some problems right at the 85 number. So that, that's problems, right? And so if you get above 85, it opens the door. Okay. Now, longer term, I'm going to show you something. And if, again, I'm noticing M2 is going up in M2 is going up, right? Not going down any further. Isn't jumping through the roof by any means. But if they plan on taking it from minus 4.84 in April, and now it's at minus 3, if they're planning on going into positive territory or beyond in the next 6 months, then this area here probably will go back up dramatically. And this is the commodity index, Goldman Sachs commodity index. Now, again, when it gets way away from the averages, we tell people it's going to go back and revert to the mean, which it did. We also didn't think it would take out the highs of July because that was way up there at about nine. The number was about 890, and here it went to 850. And look at the RSI, 75. Then you come up and try to retest it. RSI was 67. You understand that's a divergence, and that means it's running out of steam. And you're so far away. So you got a reversion to the mean probability. You got an RSI that's diverging. And that's what happens. Now, again, look now 48 on the RSI, 42. And now we're at 48. And now we're at 48. So you're getting back above the blue line, which comes in where? At 559. So holding this 550 area, very important. And holding 500. Very important. And maybe it's a situation where we are going to have another big run-up in the commodity sector in the next 6 to 12 months. Let's look at Fibonacci. I'm going to do rough math. 250, 850. So you go 850 minus 250. You see the move started at 250 and we ran to 850. So that's a 600 point move. Take 61.8%, what do you get? You get about 370. If I take 850 minus 370, what do I get? I get 480. So again, it could go a little bit further into the 500 mark, and that would be a full Fibonacci pullback from the low to the high. But again, we'll have to see. So say we're going to get one more drop in commodities. Maybe oil is going to be under pressure one more time. Maybe gold's going to fail and go into pressure one more time. If that happens and they start printing money and you're in the 480 to 500 neighborhood in this index, you know, this would be something to keep an eye on because, again, that would be a full 61%. So, again, big drop in the commodity sector. Have to see what's going on, okay? But it's something I'm definitely watching because, again, everyone is obviously negative on it down here and positive up there. And that means when everyone is selling, who's buying? Market makers, okay? And market makers tend to do okay. All right, so there's your commodity sector and the dollar and stock indexes. Let's look at a couple of individual stocks because some of them have just gone nuts. NVIDIA. I mean, some of these are poster children for reversion to the mean. Now, August 23rd, NVIDIA comes out with their earnings and they better be very high, right? Now, like I say, you see, does this look like the poster child of reversion to the mean? Now, I realize AI is big and this, that, and the other, but AI is not a totally new concept, right? It's been around for a while. And so, again, this has been a very parabolic move. RSI was here was 71. RSI is at 73. Now RSI is up at 75. So you're making massive new highs. And get this, look at the RSI here, 87. So when this high was made, it was 87. Wouldn't you think RSI would be a heck of a lot higher at this high? And it's not. So is this possibly a situation of what? Volume and strength that might be weakening? Well, let's just take a look at the rest of them. Again, RSI where? 84. Where's RSI? 85. Big new high, RSI 87. Yes, it's gone up, so there's no big divergence, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on because it's not exactly going through the roof any longer. So we'll have to see. And RSI over here was more like 77. 1 year graph, RSI is 85. RSI is 72. RSI is 70. That's divergence. That's divergence. And again, it's extended. Now, like, look, 480. I mean, again, this is where short-term options are interesting to me. Okay. Because again, let's say last week you were looking at NVIDIA and you see how far away it is from the averages up here. Don't forget, you had a gap there and you got another gap there. And you know, they're rebalancing the NASDAQ, which means they're going to have to de-emphasize this a little bit because they got to rebalance it to follow that SEC rule about diversification. So did you have any kind of a reason to do any selling? Well, you got 82 there and then you had 81. So you got a bit of a divergence there, at least flat, and you had a gap there. So let's take a look at the 5-day. If you're doing short-term options like a weekly, you got to look at the short-term graphs, obviously. So here you got 89, and then we go above 80, and we're still at 89. So you got a flat RSI with a brand new high, and then the next bar over, you're at 82, right? And then you're at what? 82, and then you're going back down to 82, and now you're at 76. Now, once the red line turns over, or it breaks the red line, which is around 465, then you've got a better shot that you're going to see some follow through, which is what you did. So again, if you are looking at you think the RSI is weakening, right? Or at least flattening out. And then of course it did weaken. It went from 89 to 87. And you think there's going to be a filling of the gap. Speculatively, what do? It's up around the 480 mark. Well, my opinion is you do a little bit in the money or a little bit out of the money and you take your shot. And basically you would be looking at something like a 485 put or a 475 put. Just use those numbers as a basic ballpark. So you're only going to go with a few day option, right? A 1 week option or something. And let's just say, you know, on whenever the day that this hit was when, well, this actually hit on Friday. So if on Friday, let's look at, well, the 1 day wouldn't show it. So say you know, some people even do 1 day options. Why do they do that? Because they're taking a speculative position, right? And they are taking it with limited risk. In other words, if you sell the market short at 480 and it jumps up to 520, you're liable for the difference between 480 and 520. If you take a 1 day call that's going to expire at the close and you buy a 1 day option, you know, at 475, you might not have had to pay too much premium on that because obviously it's going to only have hours to go till expiration. Very speculative, big gamble, no question, high risk. But again, you're using speculative risk capital to do this. And if you go from 475 down to 450, which it did, that's 25 bucks in the money. I would be very surprised if there was not a substantial gain in that type of thing. So that's why you basically like to see a situation where, you know, the market is showing you, you know, an exhaustion and you're looking to speculate and you're thinking you're making an opinion. You thought the thing was running out of steam because 89 turned into 82 and you saw what? A high surrounded by lower highs and you saw a gap. So you took your shot. Now you don't know how far it's going down when you take your shot. So you follow it down. You can see these highs are all lower, 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 lower. Now you're under the red line. That's helpful. And now you hit the blue line. The blue line would be probably where you'd say, give me my money or any time or any place in between. Or some people might roll the positions, which means you start out at a 485 or a 475. You go down to 460. You sell out of the 475s or 485s. You buy a 460, goes down to 450, and you could do it again if you wanted to. Okay. So that's an example of trying to use short-term options if you see the signals, okay? If you see the signals. Hey, let's take a look at another one that I've seen some opportunities on here, and I'll show you. This is on Apple. These are short-term opportunities. Okay, yeah, this was the one that I saw, and this was earlier in the month of July. Okay, we go up here on June 30th, and we're at 73. We jump all the way up here to a new high, 77. We get under here at, we're down to 69. So the RSI is really starting to come up, down. You've got a high point surrounded by lower high points. You got the gap, same thing as NVIDIA. And you go, you know what, I'm going to take my shot. And so you buy a 193 put, let's say, because the thing's trading 193, 194, a little bit out of the money, not a lot, a little bit. And so, because then if it just makes a minor move like to 191, you probably come out real good. If you go and buy a 190 put when it's at 193 and it doesn't break, it didn't break anyway. It went right back up. So that's why you try to buy a little bit in the money, a little bit out of the money, in my view. So then basically, again, you go from 193 and you come down to 189. Now the 193 puts your $4 in the money. You know, say you bought them for $1.50. That's a pretty good jump, $4 on 1.50. Again, you're going to lose the premium if you're wrong on this. So obviously it's speculative and obviously you have to use risk capital. But this is some of the ways I would like to see, you know, I would think it makes some sense if you're going to gamble in this way. Again, you come back through the red line. Red line is still pointing down. So this is not possibly going to hold because when the red line is still pointing down, that means the trend on this thing is still down. And this is an aberration possibly, which is what it was. So you went up to 60 on the RSI. Remember I told you 60 on RSI can be resistance, right? Well, it was here. And then basically the next one over is 50. That's a divergence, right? 60, 50. Okay. So now you got your signal that it's running out of steam and now it's under the red line. So maybe take another shot at it here with the 191 puts or the 190 puts. And then basically, if you come down here, again, you have to use your own mechanisms on how you come out of these things. Some people like to get a double or a triple and get out. Some people use the moving averages to get out. Some people use their own systems of getting out. But again, now we're back up here. And you get a little bit of a buy signal around here, 189, right? Gapped up, filled the gap. So 189 was a signal. Maybe you take a look at the call options, right? And now we've popped up here. What does it look like? 62. Remember, I said low 60s, you know, mid 60s. If it's going to stop, that might be where it stops. So here you are at 65 and here you are at 64. If Apple can start getting above 194, and this RSI gets into the 67s, it could accelerate again to the upside. So again, you know, and right now that's the direction that the thing's trading. So you got a gap there that could be. So you monitor this thing. Let's see on the 5-day if you have anything. Yeah, so you're still in a positive mode. The gap could be an attractor. You got an RSI at 73. Now you got it at 69. And now you got it at 71. So it's sloppy. It's sloppy. Nothing really screaming out. How about on a 1-day deal? Well, down here is probably where you got your signal, because you got an RSI of 41, RSI of 42. So then you got an RSI of 43. So there's a reason, and then 51. So now you're popped up. You know, as long as it stays above 192.80, it's still in a positive mode on a day graph. So nothing real happening there. Let's talk about another one, which is Meta. I'm trying to look at the ones like NVIDIA that have gone through the roof and see if there's any vulnerability here. This is on short term, right? Okay. See, again, when you get a gap, it's an attractor. So let's see what was happening up here. You had a high point here on Wednesday of last week with 69. You went up here and made a new high, 73. So it's no divergence. It's making new highs, telling you we're going higher. Now we went way up here and it went to 77. Now it's floating around the high of 316, but look at the RSI. It is starting to deteriorate, but not much. And now you got RSI at 68. Once you go from the 70s to the 60s, you get your correction of what? $8? $8. So if you're up here and you're starting to think that it could come down, right? Because it's losing its RSI, it's losing its relative strength, and it's at 314. If you think you might get a short-term correction, some people might try to do a short-term put, you know, very short-term, limited risk, leverage, and see if they get a drop. And if you go from 312 down to 304, you know, you get an $8 drop, you probably get some action on a short-term put, okay? Now it's back up. So again, nothing really showing you there. How about on today's action? High point was 66. Now you got 66, so it's flattening out. Got the purple line coming in here, 62. So some people might have taken a shot on the put side here. Now you're at 53. So some people might have taken a shot on the put side and looking for it to stay under 309.65. So far, and now it looks like it's going back above there. So again, these lines are all pointing up, which means the trend is up. So when you're trying to do puts against the trend, you have got to be very precise and you have to be very nimble. Right here, let's just see what happened here. 53, low point here, 55. That's a divergence, right? And now you're at 52. We'll have to see exactly. It's at 309.79, so it is going back up here. Nothing much going on there. Let's just see what it looks like on a longer-term graph. Okay. You got a high point around 3, what's the high been? 316 and change, okay? So you have a high point surrounded by lower high points. This thing obviously is extended from its moving averages. 320, you see in this area here, was an area where it broke down from. So it's potentially going to have some resistance because support, when it breaks, like what's the high point here? High point was 328. So some here between here and 328, 316, 328, I'd monitor that and see exactly if that area might be a resistance area. Because again, when you get this far away from the moving averages, you got to be thinking a little bit about reversion to the mean. I mean, down here, you see how far away we were from all the purple line and everything? That's reversion to the mean potential, right? So again, on the direct opposite side, you know, you have to keep an eye on that there as well and see about that. Another one, Google. Again, Google is had not nearly the move of the other ones. And let's just see here, you're at 64 and then you're at 63. So you're in the low 60s. Again, this is the neighborhood where it either stops or it's getting in the, or it may start accelerating to the upside. So again, if we were to break above 130 and we were going to get that RSI into past 65, that would open the door for this thing to pop up and have a good jump. So keep an eye on that because it's either hitting resistance up here and it's going to have a fade, or it could be on a nice little spike up because again, they are involved in AI. They're involved in advertising. They've got quite a number of products that people use as well. So again, it could have some good potential. Overseas, this is something else. If the dollar is going to stay down, commodities may have a good time of it. Okay. And also international. So basically in the international picture, this is a broad-based ETF from Vanguard. And I thought it was kind of interesting. So keep an eye on it. This is I'll give you the 20-year graph. Okay. I'll give you the 5-year graph. It's better. Okay. 5-year graph. Again, you see the purple line comes in around 54. You see all the moving averages there. So obviously if trading 55 and all the averages are at 53, 54, 54, 50, you're very close to where it should stay. Now, the RSI again was at 62 and 57 now. So again, there is a little bit of a divergence and it can't get through the 60 number. So again, when we can get through this thing towards 65 or better, that's when the acceleration phase could happen. So this could be a very big accelerant if we start seeing prints above $56. And again, this would benefit these all world ex-US would benefit maybe for the U.S., for the dollar dropping. Another one is the emerging markets, because they could also be having some currency advantage because, again, they hiked their rates much faster than we did. So this is another one that could have a lot of potential. It has not moved yet, right? I'm looking at things that have not moved yet. And so where are you here? RSI 59, RSI 57, remember? RSI in that high 50s, low 60s, that can be the end of the story. Plus, you're running right into the purple right there. So if this thing can get above $43, if the RSI can start getting above five or so, this thing could accelerate to the upside. And if the dollar is going to continue to go in the tank, these are the kind of stocks that the emerging markets could benefit quite a bit. So that gives you a little bit of an international picture. The one that we liked over in China, which was Las Vegas Sands. You'll see why we liked it in a minute here. Let's just get that up there, Las Vegas Sands. My feeling was everyone's locked up, right? So if everyone's locked up, is anybody going to be gambling? No. Will they gamble when they get out? They're going to gamble like madmen. How do I know that now? Because gaming revenue in Macau is up 500% year over year. Does that tell me I was correct? I think it does. So can you see that once it got above on the longer term graph, let's just show you the longer term. Well, I'll just go back 5 years. They both gave us good buy signals. Once it got above $35 and the red line is pointing up, that's when you get the idea to start accumulating. Once you got above the purple line, that was the time to add. Now, again, it's having some trouble up here. So the move, and again, they're slowing down over there. So this could be problematic. But again, it is hanging in there so far. So again, we'd want this thing to stay above $58 a share or so. And again, 55 for sure. And if that's the case, it could open the door to even more upside. But again, they are slowing down. The move on the Las Vegas Sands and stuff was clearly at the lower levels. A couple of other gaming stocks that I've been watching here would be the MGM, which has the Las Vegas and the Macau exposure. But again, they just spiked up. So again, after the spike up here, and you went right to, look where you went right to that 64 number, and now you're at where? Now you're still at the 64. So again, through 50, and if you look at a 20-year graph here, you know, I mean, this thing, you know, getting above 50, you can see, plus getting that RSI through 65, could be a lot of potential in MGM. And again, if the unemployment's going to stay low and everything else, you know, and their wagers are going to be there. I mean, I live in a town here where I can see there's millions of people coming again. So again, keep an eye on that. That might be very interesting. All right. Closing up again, this is the Option Professor. And here's my offer to you. We've got PDF reports on relative strength index divergence. We got it on the moving averages, and we've got them on reversion to the mean. These are the three things that I focus on because I think they are very excellent ways of looking at things. And we have a one-on-one coaching session, which we will give to you when you get these three PDF reports. So why would that be an advantage? Because we take the stuff you're doing and we put it into our mechanism and we give you our views on what you got and what looks good, and maybe something that doesn't look good. If you're doing short-term trading, I can spend time with you on, you know, how you do the buying of the calls and puts, and then how you would figure out possibly ways of trading out of them and give you my opinion and my views on that kind of stuff. So basically, you know, whether you're looking at longer-term investing and you want to get an idea if you're on the right side of the trends, or if you're in a situation where you should be possibly reducing risk by using replacement trades, which is where you would replace your trades with a limited risk situation. That's not a terrible thing to do, particularly on some of these tech stocks that are extremely high priced now from where they've been. And again, we are entering into a season where it's supposed to give us another big rally. So if that's the case, you know, then maybe there's nothing to worry about. Then the other side of the coin is that the positioning is totally different now. The enthusiasm is totally different now. The valuations are totally different now. And this is the time to maybe change your view a little bit. So again, we spend time looking at your stuff and then I share you things that I'm doing. And we do all of this for you in a one-stop shop. So you get the PDF reports on what we're looking at. You get to meet with me for an hour at least, and go over all the different stuff that we're looking at and you're looking at and try to educate you as much as we can. So if you'd like to be educated this way, just simply go to optionprofessor.com, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor.com, put your information in, or you can text us and let us know that you'd like to have a chat. And you can text us at 725, and then it's 254-6423. Again, 725-254-6423. Just text us over there and go, hey, I'd like to talk to you guys and hear exactly how you're doing things and look at some of the stuff that I'm doing. And I'd like to be educated more on the options and a little bit more on the short-term options on how to play them and or anything you want to talk about, because obviously after decades, I'm very familiar, as you can tell, with all the different markets. Okay, so keep in touch. And it's very nice to speak to you guys today. Have a great rest of the week. And again, David Cosmeter will be back with you with more information. Until then, this is Option Professor of optionprofessor.com saying goodbye and have a good day.